So who's the next human? Is it us? Are we the ones the Hopi, as the Hopi say, we've been waiting for? Or is there another version of humankind that's out there right now getting ready to come online? And if so, who is that being? How will we know that being when they arrive?
Is this a new evolution from WilliamHenry.net?
It is. I'm going to be focusing more on how we reveal the next human within ourselves, because that's what I believe this is all about. We tend to wear our souls on the inside, whereas I think the next human is going to wear the soul on the outside. We're going to be more spiritually based, and this is kind of the crossroads that we're at right now. There's this huge transhumanism movement right now where you have all the computer companies that are racing to create computer technology that will actually wear for a time. But we know that what they really want is to make the human body the next, the human skin actually, the next platform for computer development. All this high technology and genetics, nanotechnology, neuroscience, and medicine is actually geared towards implanting this technology in our skin so that we effectively become iBods. And that's one version of the next human. The other version is more of a spiritually based, in tune more with the Milky Way galaxy, and expanding our consciousness as light beings. And that's kind of the direction I'm focusing on.
Tell me about the Stargates and some of the work you've been doing, and then we'll, of course, get into angels, aliens, the Anunnaki, and also these shapeshifters as well. What's going on in the world of Stargates these days?
Well, I've been looking at this idea ever since I read Zachariah Sitchin's books back in the early 90s. I kept noticing that while he was talking about the Anunnaki, the gods flying around in rocket ships, that almost every time he would show a depiction of the gods entering the Earth plane, they seemed to be coming and going through gateways. And I started collecting images of the cylinder seals that tell these ancient stories of these gods emerging or coming and going from the Earth plane. And sure enough, they're stepping through gateways, they're stepping through portals. And what I also noticed is that accompanying these images of portals and gateways were stories of human transformation, that you didn't just simply up and walk through one of these stargates like you see in the movies Contact and Stargate. Rather, the ancients focused on the transformation of humans into divine beings or gods preparatory to going through that gate. And I believe that we're on the verge of duplicating these ascension chambers, if you will, that we see depicted in these ancient representations, and that this is going to be opening the door towards traveling in parallel dimensions, teleportation. It will change everything overnight and will probably happen within the next 10 years.
The work of Albert Einstein, and you believe he got it correct when it comes to change, and he said we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used to when we created them. What did he mean by that?
Well, what he said is we have to think out of the box, think outside the box, first of all. We have to be open to new possibilities, and this is the crossroads that we're at right now. We can either keep doing the same thing over and over again, and as they say, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity. And right now, we're on the verge of entering into insanity and total chaos if we don't get outside of ourselves, reach to our higher selves, our perfect selves, if you will, that inner perfect being, and connect with higher intelligences that can help us to solve our current problems. This isn't to say that we're waiting for some kind of a savior figure to manifest out of thin air. We're not waiting for the guys in the flying saucers to come down and solve things for us. We can do it ourselves, but it's just that we have to evolve mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally into the next level of human in order to transcend our current situation.
I was talking earlier about the genetic alteration of human beings, almost turning people into fighting machines, cyborgs. Mm-hmm. Do you see that happening, William, with the next human, or do you see more of an evolution, a spiritual evolution, where the next evolution of a human being will be something grander than what we are today?
Well, I mean, this is something, again, I've been looking at since my book Cloak of the Illuminati, when I became very interested in that super soldier suit that MIT is developing for the U.S. military, where they're creating literally a new skin, an exoskeleton for the military, which is a good thing because the skin in its proposed design would be resistant to ballistic attack. In other words, bullets would ping off of them. They'd be resistant to chemical attack. They would have their musculature would be enhanced through nanotechnology. And you look at this and you think, well, I'm really in favor for protecting our soldiers. But then what you recognize is that as this stuff begins to filter its way into the police forces, as it begins to hit the streets, now all of a sudden you've got a group of beings out there that are essentially unstoppable. But behind it is this idea that we're uniting man and machine, and that's something that I'm personally kind of uncomfortable with. I try to stay neutral on it because I recognize that when you're talking about genes, bits, which is computer technology, neurons, neuroscience, and atoms or nanotechnology, you're really just talking about the same old elements of earth, air, fire, and water retooled. And of course, our bodies are composed of those four elements. But what is always left out of the conversation when the technologists get together and talk about redesigning the human body is they leave out the fifth element, which is spirit, the quintessence, the life force energy. And I just don't see technology incorporating spirit to the degree that it's something that I would be prepared to want to, for example, begin to start implanting computers in my body. That's the line that I draw. And I recognize that I'm probably a dinosaur as far as these guys are concerned. They're really looking at the generation or generations that are coming up that are, say, 10 years old right now, maybe as old as 20 years old. This is all aimed at this younger generation, and they will gladly accept it. They seem to come into the world cable ready or computer ready, and they embrace this. And it could be just a matter of one generation that suddenly we see this huge transformation of ordinary children into these cyborgs or computer-enhanced beings.
Absolutely. You know, as we get close to Christmas, it's only appropriate now to start talking with you about angels. What, in your opinion, William, are angels?
Well, there's several levels of angels. You have your kind of not your Hallmark card angels, but that's a good place to start. That's where what most people think of when they think of an angel. And that angel is simply a messenger, the lowest level. But there's actually a hierarchy of angels. You have your archangels. And then at the highest level, you have a group of beings that I've been spending a lot of time studying lately, and that is the seraphim. They are the highest order of angels. They're considered to be beings of pure light and pure love who dwell at the throne of God. But the catch is, in many traditions, these seraphim are considered to be transformed humans. They are the next level of humanity.